throughout the Gospels, Jesus consistently and continually calls the disciples and others whom he encounters, and all of us down through the ages, to see things in radically new ways, to shed shells of old thinking that hold us, sort of like a calcified crust that keep our vision limited, kind of like blinders on a horse, that keep our vision limited and therefore keep our life experience and our hearts and our range of freedom limited. Jesus tells us that the truth sets us free and will offer us life and awareness that is more spacious and brings peace and lightness of being. So in today's gospel, Jesus addresses the topic of greed, an age-old human tendency that leads to much suffering. And his message invites us to consider more deeply what conditioned thinking might we have about money and possessions, or what stories might we tell ourselves about what we need to be truly happy and secure. What crusty shells of thinking hold us? Or more truly speaking, what crusty shells of unexamined thinking hold us hostage? So in the gospel story today, someone in the crowd says to Jesus, "Will you please tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me?" Now, maybe this guy has a good cause to be upset. Maybe there is something really unfair and unjust that's happening. Maybe he's a householder whose family is suffering because of the withholding of something that should rightfully be shared. But Jesus is offering us something deeper. As a lover of souls and of truth, he presses forward to the kind of truth that can dissolve the surface level problems. It's sort of like when families or couples go to a therapist. They sometimes want the therapist to take sides. You know, who has to take the trash out every night? But often, what a good therapist will see is that the issue presented is not the real issue. And the therapist will help guide the couple or the family to reach deeper and to loosen underground knots and misunderstandings that can then free us into love and clarity that can resolve the other problems. So Jesus says, "Friend, I'm not here to be an arbitrator or a judge, but I'll tell you something about greed." And he could be talking about the greed of the man asking the question, or the greed of the brother, or the greed of humanity. So Jesus offers a parable. It's a very rich man. He has so much that he decides he's going to tear down his little barns and build big barns. And he says to himself, "I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up, so eat, drink, and be merry." And the next character to appear in the parable is the voice of God, the voice of more profound wisdom, who says, "You fool, when you leave this earth, what good will all your stored up treasures be compared to being rich toward God?" Now, some of us might be thinking, and rightly so, is it really foolish and greedy to store up things for the future? Isn't that good stewardship? There's plenty of scriptures that says it is. For example, didn't Joseph, the son of Jacob, advise Pharaoh to store surplus grain up during the years of plenty, which enabled Egypt to survive massive starvation during a famine? Or don't we here at St. Paul's have funds that are stored up for future needs and to assure the continued vitality of our ministries, serving our neighbors and serving those who come here seeking meaning and deeper truth? And many of us have funds put away for the future. Are we, as God said in the parable, storing up treasures for ourselves but not rich toward God? This is where it starts to get uncomfortable, to think about ourselves in this examination of greed. Each of these examples I used became increasingly more personal. The history and scripture of this faith with Joseph, this church here, and our own personal finances. It can get uncomfortable for one thing, because money and our possessions and our relationship with them reach into our needs to feel competent and respected and esteemed, our need to feel secure and safe and be able to care for our families. It touches deeply on our perceived need to be in control. And literally, this discussion reaches into our primitive instinct to survive. But what is helpful to remember is that our deeper examination of our own hearts regarding greed is not threatening to our survival. It is not leading to an accusation of wrongdoing. It is not condemning us for not measuring up to being self-sacrificing, charitable Christians or good enough. At its core, the reflection on our own greed is pointing us to the opportunity to become more conscious in our choices, more aware of our power to make those choices, and therefore more free and more fully alive. In these reflections, we can uncover what conditioned, unexamined stories are we believing? Are we unconsciously living by? What beliefs are limiting us from being more aware and available to the overflowing life in us, to all the potential in our hearts that have been given to us by our Creator? But greed is not just about money. Greed is a coveting and a grasping for things that we falsely think we must have to be secure and safe and happy. It's an underlying demand that I must have what I want. Things must be in a certain way. It gives away our freedom to know peace within and assigns that power to grant that peace to money and things outside of ourselves. It also tells us that our wants matter more than others' wants. The gospel today is filled with the pronouns I, me, mine, both in Greek and in English. Now, having desires is not evil or bad in and of itself. Longing is a part of life. It's a gift. It can lead us to good things. It can lead us to God, to the truth. But we have handed down stories over time about what we desire, what we must have to be happy. And that for survival's sake also, we must be in competition with others for those things. And now, in this time, in particular, in media and a world utterly saturated with alluring, professionally, psychologically designed advertising to teach us that to be loved, to be acceptable, to be seen, to be happy, that we need to have a lot of things that we actually don't need. And this leads us to forget what we do need and overlook what we do need. And in this, the world is becoming more and more anxious. We can keep obsessively pursuing things that don't matter, but our greed and grasping will only intensify, and we'll end up with a broken heart because we won't receive what we truly need. Jesus is encouraging us with this parable, imploring us with his life to shake off the constriction of stories that spur us to chase after our aliveness and peace by storing up treasures in a barn. When we examine our tendencies to desperately want things, to grasp for things, when we do this examination deeply and ferociously and courageously, we will find we don't come away with having our survival threatened. But instead, we realize our power to free ourselves, to be controlled by this greed that binds us. The survival that is being threatened is of the false small self that we believe ourselves to be. The survival that is being threatened is that of conditioned beliefs that blind us to the love and abundance that is ours to know utterly and ours to share with the world. Reverend Gregory Sammons was the blogger for the choir's recent trip to England. And if you haven't read any of those blogs, I invite you to. They're more of a travel, more than just a travel log. They're very uplifting and beautiful. And I mention this because one of the beautiful phrases that he wrote that has really stuck with me is, bowing empty and rising full. This is an apt description for what today's parable calls being rich toward God. If you've ever cleansed your body with fasting and then very clean eating, you know that you come to a very clear and alive feeling, cleaned out in ways that you didn't even know that you needed or were capable of feeling. Likewise, when we examine our desperate grasping, when we begin to release its hold on us, there is a lightness of being that comes over us that we didn't know we needed and didn't know we were capable of. We bow empty and we rise full in the best way. If we want to know reality, if we want to love fully and know ourselves as truly beloved, if we want to flow in the graces that can feed us and allow the holiness in us to shine in this world and bring more peace to this world, we are called by Christ to step out of the trance of old beliefs and to see things in radically new ways. This includes breaking our enslavement to greed, to desperately desiring things that really don't matter. We need to see those places in ourselves so that we can make conscious, intentional choices to release them. It's hard, and in this effort, it's essential to pray for help and to be compassionate and supportive to ourselves as we strive to do this. And in this way, we become more available. We have more space in ourselves. We find ourselves noticing and feasting on what is life-giving. The glory of the sunlight today, the glory of the chill in the air, the preciousness of people and the real connection we can experience in our hearts, good laughter, the joys of giving and receiving simple kindness, the joy of forgiving our daily shortcomings and those of others, just the sheer goodness of life, the preciousness of it. We become rich in our hearts when we realize the wealth that was there all along, the wealth of the food and drink that God is always giving us. We become rich in our realization of our capacity to love, to see the goodness in others. We become rich in generosity, rich in our longing to love one another and to flow in the river of grace and wisdom that is running through all of us and all of life every day.